Independent journalism needs protection, now more than ever. Leaving a gift to TPR in your will helps ensure thoughtful, fact-based news has a future in Texas. Learn more at tpr.org/legacy.
Welcome to Fronteras, a program that explores issues at the border and beyond through the lens of arts, culture, and history. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Millions of buffalo once roamed vast stretches of North America, from Canada's Northwest Territories to northern Mexico. Mass slaughter in the 1800s led to near extinction. Recovery and preservation efforts have seen numbers rebound to around 500,000 today, both in the wild and in conservation herds. The buffalo is inextricably linked with North America's indigenous population. Lucille Contreras is the founder and CEO of the Texas Tribal Buffalo Project. It's an effort to reconnect with indigeneity through buffalo and the land. The Texas Tribal Buffalo Project originated 5 years ago in Welder, a small community in the South Texas county of Gonzales, with 77 acres and a growing herd of at least 29 buffalo. Through a partnership with the Conservation Fund, the Texas Tribal Buffalo Project has acquired nearly 150 acres on the outskirts of the city of Floresville, a few miles south of San Antonio. We drove there to talk to Lucille Contreras and with Ellen Gass, the Conservation Fund's field representative in Texas. We sat at a shaded picnic table outside the ranch home that serves as the group's offices. Contreras says to know the story behind the Texas Tribal Buffalo Project, we need to know her story.
I'm the youngest in my family. On my dad's side, we're Lipan Apache. On my mom's side, we're Mexica. When I was growing up, I felt very disconnected from the regular, quote-unquote, Hispanic culture. I was always La India, afuera. Always outside, barefooted, in the dirt, with the animals, in the trees, with the plants. And I moved to Boulder, Colorado when I was 20. When I was in Boulder working at Art Hardware, nearly every single day I was asked, what tribe are you from? There's a lot of Native people that live in Boulder and in Denver. And it really took me by surprise, because back home here in Texas, we look alike. You and I look like we're related. So many of us in Texas Tribal Buffalo Project come to find out we are genetically related to each other. So anyway, I came home and I told my dad, geez, every day people ask me what tribe I'm from. He said, oh, pues, mi mamá siempre decía que somos Apache. My mother always told me we are Apache. Pero siempre decía, no digas a nadie. Do not tell anyone. Do not tell anyone who you are. So finally, here I'm 20 years old, and it's like the great Apache box opened. Not Pandora's box, but the great Apache box opened. And I reclaimed that for myself as a young woman. And growing up in Colorado in that era, it was amazing to reconnect with so many other indigenous people who also have reconnected with their indigeneity. And so fast forward, COVID, I was living in South Dakota on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation and working with buffalo from a nonprofit up there, up north on the res. And that's where I learned to reconnect with buffalo as a relative. You don't treat the buffalo like cattle, like livestock. You treat buffalo like your relative. Just as our ancestors did at one point. And by the way, Lipan Apache are the southernmost buffalo nation, meaning the buffalo was everything to our people historically. And it is that way again here today. What I learned in South Dakota and what I implement here with Texas Tribal Buffalo Project is to treat each other like relatives and to treat the buffalo like our relative. Once we align ourselves in that way, then everything falls into place. We are also taken care of if we take care of the buffalo. So 5 years ago, I started Texas Tribal Buffalo Project as a nonprofit. I was still living in Pine Ridge, South Dakota. I also acquired a USDA beginning farmer and rancher loan and acquired 77 acres in Wilder, Gonzales County. So I moved home with my family, my grown children that are amazing and wonderful supporters of the work that we do. And my sons immediately began building the fence there in Wilder, and Texas Tribal Buffalo Project took off. And today we have a small but mighty staff of 6 folks, 200 volunteers, amazing, amazing supporters. And another amazing, beautiful thing has happened, which was connecting with the Conservation Fund. And I met the Conservation Fund, an awesome man named Christian. And Christian talked about this amazing program to help people reclaim land that is threatened by being developed. And so this amazing program, what we benefited from was that this is part of our historical homeland here in Floresville. And we've now managed to reconnect with this land through a generous offer, which allowed us to purchase this. We are purchasing it. We're in the middle of a capital land campaign. And we're regaining access to ourselves, to our indigeneity, to our food, to the buffalo, and to each other.
Well, before I talk to Ellen, I do want to point out that when people think about buffalo, they think, like, you're in the Dakotas,
right?
Yellowstone.
Yes.
They don't realize that the territory of the buffalo extended into deep south Texas. And so people might be wondering, you know, why are you bringing buffalo to Texas? It's so hot here. They have such thick hides. Can you tell us a little bit about the adaptability of the animal?
Absolutely. Historically, buffalo lived here for thousands of years, ranging from the northern plains up in Canada, straight down the Rocky Mountains, down the center of what we call Turtle Island or the United States, straight down into Texas and into northern Mexico. This migration was approximately 60 to 90 million buffalo or bison. I use the word interchangeably because buffalo is the word that when Europeans arrived on this land, they saw this amazing animal and they identified it, they misidentified it as buffalo from what they saw in Africa of the water buffalo. And we as indigenous people claim the word buffalo for ourselves. It's part of our sovereignty movement, so to speak. So I use it back and forth. So yeah, buffalo historically were here for thousands of years. You can imagine 90 miles length. So, for example, Wilder is 90 miles from Floresville. At one point, that was full of buffalo walking across the land, freely moving. Once the land became purchased, quote-unquote acquired, then fences went up and the buffalo's migration path was destroyed. And so many of the buffalo that are still here in Texas are pure, genetically pure bison. Some of our herd descends from Caprock Canyon, where there was a herd that was saved in the past and now has grown and is thriving.
Where's Caprock Canyon?
Caprock Canyon is northeast Texas, and it's up near the Panhandle. It's a very, very beautiful, beautiful place. Buffalo have always been here. But that's a common question that I get is, why are buffalo here? Well, I also get this question. We didn't know there were Indians here. We didn't know there were natives here. There have always been native here. There have always been buffalo here. Both of us have hidden in plain sight. And we are thriving once again.
And tried to be driven into extinction.
Absolutely, because the massacre of the buffalo was a policy by the United States government to eradicate indigenous people who relied on the buffalo for everything. So it's an amazing, beautiful, powerful thing to be sitting here right now on our own historical homeland, acquired with the help of the Conservation Fund and the Swift family, Roy Ann Carney, who connected with me. Her family had acquired this in 1827. Put this in perspective. The Treaty of Guadalupe was, what, 1848? So in 1827, colonists were acquiring land here through the Mexican government, which had already been land lived on by indigenous people. And just so folks out there can hear these words, Texas indigenous lineal descendants are Lipan Apache, Carancoa, Tapilan, Carrizo Come Crudo, Coitecano, Humano Apache, and so many, many, many more.
Great segue to Ellen. And Ellen, right now we were just getting a lesson from Lucille about, you know, how the property rights, I guess, of this land goes back, you know, almost two centuries now. Can you tell us a little bit about how the Conservation Fund became involved in acquiring this piece of land and how it is going to end up changing hands to the Texas Tribal Buffalo Project?
Absolutely. So the Conservation Fund, just as an introduction, we're a national nonprofit, and we work to purchase lands that are at high risk of development and then hold them until we can convey them to a partner for permanent protection. And that's, I think, one of the things that this property has, kind of all of the pieces that we're looking for on projects, right? It's conservation, it's supporting a community, it's preserving cultural heritage. And so when we got connected with Lucille and Texas Tribal Buffalo Project, it was first just an idea. And then Roy Ann Carney, who is the current owner of the property before we purchased it, it had been in her family since the 1800s. And as they were looking for who would be the next stewards of the property, you know, no one lived in Texas anymore. They knew that they couldn't take care of it. And the rest of the family who owned it were very motivated to see it stay in agriculture and not be lost to development or subdivision. You know, there's a neighboring property just adjacent to here that in the last about 3 to 5 years, they've cut it up into 10 to 15 acre parcels. Mm-hmm. That land will no longer be in agricultural production. And so she's looking at that happening going, I don't want to see that happen to our family's heritage. Mm-hmm. So she reached out to Lucille, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden we have a property that we can work on. So Lucille reaches out to us. We worked with Roy-Ann, worked with her family in order to acquire the property. And now we're working with Texas Tribal Buffalo Project on kind of a lease-to-own situation where we're the current owners, but just for now. And we're doing a joint fundraising campaign in order to raise the funds so that Texas Tribal Buffalo Project can purchase the property outright and can be the owners of the property forever.
Ellen Gass is the Texas field representative for the Conservation Fund. We're also talking with Lucille Contreras, founder and CEO of the Texas Tribal Buffalo Project. When we come back, the passion behind the Texas Tribal Buffalo Project is one of conservation, land revitalization, and reconnection with the land.
And so this is really a mission that, I mean, it's a heart mission for us. You know, we know that indigenous stewardship and indigenous access to land is one of the best things that can happen to it.
Our conversation continues next on Fronteras.
Support for this podcast of Fronteras comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company. They are committed to helping policyholders build strong and thriving businesses through their exceptional service. More at texasmutual.com/texansdeliver. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. A growing herd of buffalo has set foot, or hoof, on nearly 150 acres of Wilson County, southeast of San Antonio. This is ranch land that's mostly agricultural. Cattle and horses might be more common sights to passers-by on these rural farm-to-market roads. The herd belongs to the Texas Tribal Buffalo Project, a woman and indigenous-led organization that's re-energizing the connections to the buffalo and the land. We're talking today with the Texas Tribal Buffalo Project founder, Lucille Contreras, and with Ellen Gass of the Conservation Fund. Contreras explains how the literal footprint of the buffalo is expected to heal and restore the land.
Buffalo are a keystone species. A keystone species are animals that are on the earth that keep balance on the earth. So, for example, beaver are also a keystone species. The reason why buffalo are the best stewards of the land is because the way they graze, they're not like cattle, they're not like beef. First of all, they're indigenous to this land, they're from here, they always have been here. As they move across the land, they aerate the soil. Their hooves are concave, they're not flat. So as they're walking, they're aerating the soil, they're not just compacting it, smashing it down. They're literally reviving the soil. They're creating biodiversity, which means that they're creating space for other animals to have habitat. It's that chain. It's the whole life cycle chain. The buffalo create a wallow, which is a hole, a depression in the ground. As they roll in the ground, they kick up the dust and they create a bowl in the ground called a wallow. Cattle, beef also do not create wallows. Then it rains, that wallow gets full of water. Now frogs have a cool space to be in. And bobtail quail have places to hide in. So they're working together to help each other. And we in Texas have a huge, huge problem with mesquite. Any rancher, any ag person out there, any landowner could tell you in Texas, they struggle with mesquite, which is a native plant that has turned invasive. And the roots of mesquite go 5-7 feet deep. Imagine the 90 million buffalo here, how they're compacting those mesquite. They're keeping the mesquite in check so the mesquite are not invasive. Whereas now, because the buffalo were taken off the land, the mesquite have become invasive. We are working with the buffalo to restore the balance of the soil, the grass, the watershed, and habitat for other animals and plants. It's been amazing. We walk around the pasture daily and you inspect the buffalo, you inspect even the poop, the patties are just a whole microcosm, a whole world in itself. So the fact that buffalo are a keystone species, that's number one. They're the best stewards of the land. They're helping to revive the native seed bank that's also in the soil. And so many more other cool things.
Well, I mean, Ellen, this has got to be kind of a dream for you just to be able to see how something like a buffalo can really just have such a grand impact on the environment.
I don't tend to work on a lot of restoration projects. So getting to see really the changes that the buffalo are able to bring and being able to meet Lucille like out at their Welder property and see it already in action because the buffalo have been there 5 years. So it's kind of fun to see it here. And so we're seeing the beginnings. So if you come out in 5 more years and get to compare what it looks like then to what it looks like now, we can invite you to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the Conservation Fund will not own it at that point. So that's on Lucille. But
so what's the timetable do you foresee before it passes completely to the Texas Tribal Buffalo Project?
So the Conservation Fund acquired the property in November of 2024, and we have an agreement with Texas Tribal Buffalo Project to convey it within 3 years. That timeline is pretty dependent on our fundraising and how well our fundraising goes. If we are able to fundraise for the project before then, we will absolutely convey it over before then. And we've been really excited about the support that we've seen. You know, if I can plug, if any of your listeners are excited about this project, they can literally just Google the Conservation Fund and Texas Tribal Buffalo Project, and the first thing that comes up is our page about this project where they can donate directly to help Texas Tribal Buffalo Project acquire this property. You know, we are so excited about this project. The Conservation Fund, this is the first project we have done with a tribal group in Texas. Nationally, we have about 60,000 acres where different colleagues of mine have worked with tribal organizations to get them land ownership or access or harvesting rights on different properties. And so this is really a mission that, I mean, it's a heart mission for us. You know, we know that Indigenous stewardship and Indigenous access to land is one of the best things that can happen to it. And I hope that this is the first of many projects that we get to do in Texas.
And you have this property, Lucille. Is it open to the public? How do you make people aware that you are here?
Both our properties are open to the public. We schedule tours. We've hosted schools, entire classes. We've had about 100 kids arrive to our Wilder property once with, I believe, 2 or 3 buses. And we also have a farmer's market that we just started here at the Floresville property. It'll be once a month, probably year-round. We also host organizations to come and do their own events here. We're able to support some delicious buffalo meat for a meal and host tours, walking around the pasture, seeing what has been done, as well as open house ranch days where we invite the entire community. And we've got folks come from all over the state and all over the country to come and visit us. An amazing thing that happens when we have a buffalo harvest is that Texas Indigenous lineal descendants, we have been hiding in plain sight for so many generations that our people today, we are hungry to reconnect with each other. So we have a buffalo harvest biannually, every other year. Our first buffalo harvest in 2021, we had about 150 folks in attendance. This last buffalo harvest this year, which was our third one, we had over 400 people in attendance. And the majority are Texas Indigenous lineal descendants, with the repeat story of what I mentioned earlier. My grandmother, my grandfather, my uncle, my father, my aunt told us we are Comanche, Apache, Carancua, Coitacano, and now we want to know more. And this is the work, is reconnecting. So we have many programs. We have initiatives of food sovereignty. Food sovereignty is us reclaiming our diets for our own health and well-being. Native people, Indigenous people all across the country suffer the highest rates of diabetes, high blood pressure, as well as mental disparities, suicide, and depression, and other ailments caused as a direct result of the colonization and the invasion of our lands, which has really destroyed our foodways. So today, a big mission and goals for Texas Tribal Buffalo Project is to instill health and wellness into our people once again, and the land, and the soil, and the water, and the buffalo, and each other. So the work we do is very holistic. If we are healthy mentally, we're going to be able to choose better diet for our families. If we're healthy mentally and physically, we can have a better quality of life and enjoy life and be happy and treat each other with more kindness. And that's also rematriation. That's also a concept of using our matrilineal, matriarchal point of view as women to govern ourselves, to govern our families, to govern our organizations. It is not to say that men are less. It's to say that patriarchy is wrong. Patriarchy was the destruction of our land and the destruction of our food ways, which resulted in the mental and physical disparities. So as we reclaim all of these things, our connection to the land and each other, we're also reclaiming our health. I'm really, really excited about a beautiful program called Meat for Mamas. And our Meat for Mamas program, it's beautiful. A lot of the work that we're doing comes from my own personal life and my own personal experiences, which are shared communal experiences for folks that have always been here in Texas. I was a single mom for many years in Boulder, Colorado. I depended on food banks quite a bit as a woman in IT making quote-unquote too much money. So you make too much money, so you don't qualify for services, but yet your rent and your bills take up so much of your income that you have very little left for food. And especially living in Boulder, Colorado was very expensive. And so we relied on food banks. And now I realize that I want to give back to women. And mothers, doesn't have to be a single mom, but any woman that is identifies as Texas Indigenous lineal descendant can apply to our program, and we gift meat on a monthly basis throughout pregnancy and into postpartum and into the first few years of life. That way, we can ensure that we are doing our part to help the fetus grow strong, to help the mother grow strong, and to help the future generations. Because if we can do one thing and restore our health as Native people, I believe so much more will follow after that.
And did I read correctly that the meat that you provide is now also SNAP eligible?
Yes, that was something that we established in year one. I'm really, really proud of that. The USDA SNAP food stamp program is a very long and arduous process to become part of, but we did that. We became SNAP approved the first year, and last year we launched our online store where we also accept SNAP food stamp EBT online, so anybody in the entire United States can buy meat from us using their food stamp card, and it gets shipped to them frozen. And we use grant money to offset some of those costs of shipping so that the folks don't have to incur their own, use their own monetary to pay for shipping.
I was also going to backtrack. You were talking about matriarchal societies, and the buffalo are also matriarchal.
Yes.
So there's that really beautiful parallel.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. The buffalo are governed by the oldest females that lead the herd on where to go, where they're going to be, where they're going to give birth. The strong buffalo, both the male and the female, surround the herd during any type of crisis. When the buffalo feel threatened, they immediately gather into a circle with the younger and the mother and the older ones in the center and the stronger ones on the outside. It's a beautiful, beautiful way of living and being, where you think about we're treating each other with that kindness, that respect, that love of protecting each other with the stronger ones on the outside. And you know, and that's also a beautiful relationship that we have with the Conservation Fund. The Conservation Fund, as a national organization who could choose to help anybody they want in the whole world, and they've chosen to help us. Texas Tribal Buffalo Project, a smaller, indigenous-run, matriarchal organization, nonprofit, that is doing this work and surrounded by a bigger organization like the Conservation Fund. That's the true governance of the buffalo that we're modeling that for others. We're creating models for other people anywhere in the country to be able to use, whether that be in business, in nonprofit governance, in land restoration, and connecting with other organizations like the Conservation Fund for help to ensure that we all have a better future.
Lucille Contreras is the founder and CEO of the Texas Tribal Buffalo Project. We also spoke to Ellen Gass, Texas field representative for the Conservation Fund. The Texas Tribal Buffalo Project is headquartered in Welder, Texas, about 80 miles east of San Antonio. It's home to a growing herd of 29 buffalo. The Conservation Fund partnered with the organization to acquire almost 150 acres in Floresville, about a 40-minute drive south of San Antonio. It's home to 6 buffalo, including 2 calves. The Conservation Fund is leasing the newly acquired land to the Texas Tribal Buffalo Project until it can raise enough funds to purchase the site outright. And you're probably wondering if we saw any buffalo while we were on the Floresville property. Producer Maria Navarro and I were invited to hop in the back of a pickup for a bumpy ride to see if we could spot any of the buffalo, but they stayed out of sight.
Yeah, I guess we'll just go back.
Yeah, it's all right.
We'll just go back. Watch out for that big pile. Thank you, Sarah.
It was worth a try.
Yeah.
You can still see some images of the buffalo from the Floresville and Welder properties and learn more about the project at tpr.org. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez and Marianne Navarro. Our editor is Yvette Benavides. Our executive producer is Dan Katz. Chiranga Cakewalk composed our theme music. Hear past episodes at tpr.org and on the Fronteras podcast. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Thanks for listening.